Just take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn to Zechariah chapter 7. We are going to begin at verse 8 and read to the end of the chapter. Zechariah chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called, and they would not hear, so they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land was left desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. This word follows very quickly on the heels of the message that Zechariah had been told to give to this delegation that had come down to him from Bethel. Folks who had the question about fasting. And so it's set in the context of men who have come, who have asked a question about a type of worship that really was a man-invented, man-centered form of worship. And so God, in giving His answer to them, we saw last time, said, When you fasted, did you really fast to Me? Was it for Me that you were fasting? And when you eat and drink, did you eat and drink for Me? And so He was pointing out that their worship was not done in a proper way. Their worship was self-centered. It was ungodly in that sense. And now what He says in this second part of this chapter, now what He says is that what He desires from them is not this type of worship that they had been giving, but He desires true evidence of repentance and faith. He desires mercy and justice. And so the question centers around what we often ask, how can you tell if a person is a believer in the Lord God of Scripture, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said that you can tell by the fruit that a person bears in his life. And Zechariah says that you can tell by the way their faith affects their daily living, and not just the manner of worship. And so he wants to turn them aside from thinking about this false form of worship that they had been so concerned about. And he wants to have them focus instead upon what God commands in Holy Scripture. And so God is going to use through Zechariah an illustration, an example of their forefathers' reaction to the preaching of the Word of God by the former prophets. And He's going to show them how to determine whether or not they are obeying God in their generation. So it's going to apply to us in the same way. We can take the very same message that Zechariah was commanded to preach to these folks and apply it to our lives as well. How can we know if we are truly following the Lord? We can look at our reaction to the preaching of the Word of God. What does it do or not do in our lives? People in Zechariah's day and before that, who had heard the forefathers of these folks, who had heard the former prophets preach, rejected what God said. They rejected the call to righteousness. And what happened was, this led to their city being destroyed and to them being taken into captivity. So the question centers around how to know if you are obeying God's law, God's word. There is a positive aspect to it and a negative aspect to it that God gives to Zechariah. The positive aspect is this. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another." That's the first part of it. Now, the ESV doesn't show as clearly here as the New American Standard does that there's a past tense verb being used. And basically what's being said is, "Thus has said the Lord of hosts." God said this in the past. It's referring to the things that the Lord had revealed to their forefathers through the former prophets back before the exile. Things that God had said in the past to them. And so God's going to give them certain tests by which they can know in their generation, by which we can know in our generation, if we are following the Word of God. And these tests are so simple and so clear that it doesn't take a great deal of spiritual discernment to tell if a person's being obedient to the Word of God. You can see it. It's evident. And failure to perform them is one proof of disobedience to God's Word. So the first thing he says is render true judgments. Jeremiah in chapter 7 was instructed by God to say this, "For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land I gave of old to your fathers forever." You see, what had happened in the days of these forefathers back before the exile was the folks had turned inward upon themselves. They had focused upon their own hearts and their own lives, and they had begun to sin against God. They didn't care about God and what God had to say, and they were out for their own personal gain. And as we're going to see, some of the things that God says is they were mistreating one another. And so God says, render true judgment, render true justice to one another. Repent. Mend your ways and your deeds. Repent. Render true judgment. True justice. If you do that, I'll let you stay. If you don't do that, you're out of here. That's basically what he's saying through Jeremiah. And they didn't repent. They were out of there. They were taken into exile. Ezekiel chapter 18 says about a man, says, if a man does not lend at interest or take any profit, withholds his hand from injustice, executes true justice between man and man, walks in my statutes and keeps my rules by acting faithfully, he is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord God. Now, don't misunderstand what God is saying through Ezekiel here. God is not saying, if you do all of these things, you become righteous, and by that way you become pleasing to me. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is, these things are evidence of the righteousness that is yours, and we know from Scripture that it comes by God's gift through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the evidence of righteousness is seen in the way a person lives. And it's in withholding his hand from injustice and executing true justice and walking according to the Word of God and keeping God's law, God's rules by acting faithfully. All of these things are evidence of righteousness. And so God says, if you do all of these things, then he sees your righteousness. You are righteous. It's evidence that you're righteous in Christ. And you shall surely live. And so the point of these two passages that we looked at is that judgment is to be exercised with impartiality. It's to be unbiased. You're to weigh things based on the facts of the case. You're to reach a decision that's not influenced by other considerations. We've been looking at Proverbs. We've talked about bribery. We're going to continue to talk about bribery. It crops up in Proverbs over and over again. We're not to offer a bribe, we're not to take a bribe. And so justice is perverted when bribes are offered and bribes are taken. And judgment is supposed to be executed impartially based on the facts of the case. When you treat men that way, you're showing evidence of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show kindness to one another, he says. Kindness and mercy. Hosea 6. For I desire steadfast love, some Bible translations say, mercy and not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In Micah, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And so these are things that are evidence of righteousness. You execute justice impartially toward one another. You're not prejudiced or biased in the way in which you execute judgment. You show mercy to others. You show kindness to one another. And that's evidence of your love for the Lord. Zechariah is showing that God desires faith in His Word to be followed up by daily living in such a way that's in keeping with the Word of God. That's in keeping with evidence of justice and mercy. And if you neglect those things, then what is happening is you're giving evidence, all right, but evidence that you're not converted. That's the positive side, is do these things. Then there's a negative side to it. Verse 10, do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against one another in your heart. So to the positive commands of showing justice and showing mercy and showing kindness, God also adds, don't do these things. Prohibitions that are designed by God to keep in check the injustices that are so easy for powerful men to use against those who are powerless in front of them. And so there are two groups here. Some Bible translations separate them into the widow and the orphan, and then the sojourner and the poor. And our ESV just puts all four of the things together with commas. But it's the same, essentially the same thing. The widow and the orphan, the widow and the fatherless, are often put together in Scripture, as are the alien, the sojourner, and the poor. All the way back in the law, Exodus 23, you shall not pervert the justice due to the poor in your lawsuit. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Deuteronomy 10, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. And so God describes Himself in this way and says, this is the way that you are to be. But now Zechariah goes deeper, and he cites what is at the heart of wrongdoing against folks like widows and orphans and aliens and the poor. Let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. You see, what he's doing is as a prophet, Zechariah, like the other prophets, the former prophets that are referred to here, he's saying genuine morality measures what you do based upon the motives that are in your heart. Okay? Well, this is not moralism. The Bible can't be boiled down to little moralisms. Be nice. Be kind. God does call us and command us to be kind to one another, but the Bible is not just be kind to one another with no content to that in any way. What Zechariah is saying, and this is what Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the other prophets say, is that your heart is what's important, and what comes forth from your heart shows who you are. And the secret wishes of your heart must be pure. Micah chapter 2. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When morning dawns, they perform it because it is in the power of their hand. So, Micah is describing folks that go to bed and before they go to sleep, they're thinking, how can I cheat somebody when I get up in the morning? Oh, I know what I'll do. And they go to sleep thinking about what a wonderful thing that is, and they get up the next morning and they go out immediately and cheat somebody. He's saying that's what you're not supposed to be like. You see, the absence of mercy and justice and the presence of oppression against the helpless and the outcast is evidence that a profession of faith is only lip service. If a person says he's a believer, but he goes around persecuting folks in this way, persecuting the poor and the helpless, people that he has power over in some way, and doesn't show mercy and doesn't show kindness in Christ, then it's evidence, all right, but it's evidence that his profession of faith is only lip service. It's not real. His heart's not converted. And so, like the fruit tree, the heart of the man reveals what's at its roots. A converted heart will produce true worship. He talked about that in the first part of this chapter. But it will also produce mercy and compassion for other folks. And a truly converted heart will also refrain from oppressing those that you could oppress simply because you're more powerful than they are. A wicked heart shows its own true colors as well. Even though a person may say he's worshiping God and may outwardly appear to worship God truly, still, he will not show the fruit of the Holy Spirit, mercy and compassion, but will instead show oppression to others and therefore reveal what his heart's really like. And so, generally, what's being said here is when you see somebody that goes around kicking those that he can kick and get away with it, and yet says, I'm a Christian, he's lying. He's lying. His profession of faith is just lip service. It's not real. If he can kick people because he thinks he can kick them and get away with it, then his oppression of people that are under him shows his heart's not converted. That's what he's getting at here. Now, that was a message that Zechariah says, this is what God said to your forefathers back in the day before the exile. And we see several of them saying things like this. They didn't respond to it well. Instead, they spiraled downward in sin. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. In verses 11 and 12, we've got a summary of how these forefathers reacted in response to what the former prophet said to them. The three actions in verse 11 and verse 12, the first one in verse 12, show this downward spiral, this progression into evil, this downward spiral into sin. That's what sin's like. You start out and you don't really stay where you think you are. You begin to spiral down. We were walking the dogs the other day, and I heard this tremendous flutter of wings in front of me. I looked about 20 feet in front of me, about 20 feet up, there was a dove that had missed a branch. Doves are some of the worst flyers, I think. I don't know what their problem is. But this dove was off to the side of the branch. He was slowly sinking down off this branch. He's flapping furiously. And it's almost like he gave up and said, I'm never going to make it back up there. And he spirals all the way down and crash lands on the ground right in front of us. And then sort of walks away like, I meant to do that. That's what sin's like. Is we miss the branch. We can't flap hard enough to get back up to it. And so we just sort of flap and crash land. But we're spiraling down into sin the whole way. And then like the dove, we sort of walk off like, I really meant to do that all along. Now, what did they do? They refused to pay attention, it says. They refused to heed. when they were told to do something, they just did not obey, even though it was God telling them what to do. No. Now, men sometimes might be forced to submit when the case presented to them is strong enough for obedience, but they didn't. They didn't. They turned a stubborn shoulder, it says. It's the second thing. They shrugged their shoulders. They are acting like, and this picture is given of trying to put a yoke on the shoulders of an animal, like an ox, to fit it to a cart so it can pull the cart. And the animal is stubborn, and it doesn't want the yoke. And so when you try to put the yoke on it, it moves one way and the other, and it shrugs its shoulders trying to cast the yoke off. It doesn't want the yoke placed on it. It rears and bucks to get away. The words literally say they gave shoulder rebellion. But the idea is this. They refused to wear the yoke of obedience to God, and therefore God put on them a yoke, all right, but it was a yoke of oppression. They ended up in exile because of it. They stopped their ears so that they might not hear. They literally, it says, rendered their ears heavy. They closed off their hearing so that the Word of God no longer reached them. You remember when Stephen was testifying in the book of Acts, and he presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he gets to the very end, and he begins to apply it to that crowd that's there with him. And he says, you're a bunch of wicked people. You killed the Lord of glory. You crucified Christ. And you're doing just the same rebellious stuff that your forefathers did. And the Bible says they stopped their ears and they rushed at him and they stoned him to death. They didn't want to hear. And they covered their ears. And that's what's being said here. They stopped their ears. God speaking, I don't want to hear what God has to say. They closed off their hearing so that the Word of God could no longer reach them. Isaiah said they were going to do this. I mean, when we go back to Isaiah's call in chapter 6, God says to Isaiah, basically says, here am I, send me. What do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord replies to him. He said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Isaiah, I'm sending you to do a terribly hard mission. I want you to preach to a bunch of folks who will never respond to what you've got to say. And as a matter of fact, the more you preach, the harder it's going to be for them to hear. The more you preach, the more they're going to not want to hear. The more you preach, the more they're going to stop up their ears. The more you preach, the more their hearts are going to be hardened. The more you preach, the more their eyes are going to be blinded. Tough ministry. Now, what had happened here then was these folks gave evidence of having a distaste for, if not a downright hatred, of the Word of God. The fourth thing they did was they made their hearts diamond hard, or they made their hearts like flint. They refused to hear the law of God. They refused to hear the words that the Lord of hosts said through His prophets. And they persisted in that over and over and over again. And such persistent refusal to hear God's word has a result. It finally results in a hardened heart, so that the heart is hardened like flint, or like a diamond, or like the word that's used here means a very hard stone, very hard mineral stone, adamant stone, flint, emery, diamond. It's just a very, very hard stone. That's what their heart's like. It's not pliable. It's not responsive. It's not beating. It's just like it's a cold, dead rock that cannot be penetrated by the Word of God. And they did this. God holds them responsible for the state in which they find themselves. Their hard heart is the fault of their own sin. That's what's being said here. They harden their hearts against the Word of God, and God breaks these hard hearts in judgment upon them. Verse 12 says, they made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. So Israel refused to hear. They refused to hear the law, the Word of God, as it came through Moses. They refused to hear God's words sent by the Holy Spirit through the former prophets. And though they were words given by men, they are words of divine origin. They come from the Holy Spirit of God. Words that the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. So the Bible very clearly tells us that the Word of God comes to us by men, but yes, it is the Word of God. It's the Word of God's Spirit given by men. The authority of God is behind everything these prophets said because it's inspired by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the result of all of this is God's angry. He's angry with them. And He pours out His wrath upon them. And this wrath is seen in verse 14. It's the destruction of Jerusalem. It's the destruction of the temple. But before we even get there, we see that they get what they deserve. And you get what you deserve, is what is being said here. The fruit of your ways, the fruit of their ways. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called, and they would not hear. So, they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. You see, the Lord's solemn resolution is to abandon these hard-hearted people to the fruit of their own ways. And so their situation is a result of their refusal to hear and to heed the Word of God. They wouldn't hear when God called them repeatedly over and over and over again. And therefore, God says He refuses to hear them when they called Him. Now, this is not something brand new. God already told them and already warned them that He was going to do this. In Isaiah chapter 1, He says, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. And Isaiah 59 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He does not hear. And so the point is that this is a just judgment based upon the principle that we find in Scripture of as the crime, so the punishment. They would not hear when I call, therefore I will not hear when they call. That's what God is saying. They wouldn't hear the call of the Lord, so He refuses to hear their call to Him. The Lord refused to hear their cry for help. He continued to do so even in the time that Zechariah is writing. They had closed the throne of grace against themselves, and they'd opened up the throne of judgment. And from this judgment came their scattering among their enemies and the destruction of their land. And this is a destruction, God says, that they brought upon themselves, the wrath of God. Verse 14. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. You see, from the time of Moses onward, the Lord had warned them if they forsook Him, He would forsake them. Deuteronomy 4, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. Deuteronomy 28, and the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. God warned them. And now it's been fulfilled. They were cast out of their land. They were scattered to the ends of the earth. The pleasant land, the land of their desire, had been left desolate for almost 70 years at this point. Now, the point of this is you can't escape God. You can't escape God. Some people think they can escape God and His wrath against their sins. Not by genuine repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But some folks seem to think, well, if I just show up on Sunday morning, then God will accept that. That's my obligation. I'll give you an hour out of my week. Surely that ought to be enough. Others seem to think, well, if I just ignore Him, maybe He'll forget me and go away. They don't think that God's ever going to judge. If I just don't think about God, then God won't think about me. And so in the end, what happens is both types of folks, the people that merely show up on Sunday morning in order to think that they have fulfilled their obligation against God, and surely that's enough, but they have no genuine faith in Christ, and people who think that if I just ignore God, He'll leave me alone, both are ignoring God. They're not listening to His Word. They're refusing to do what He says. And they're like these folks in Zechariah's day. They are unwilling to pay attention. They are rearing and bucking to avoid having the yoke of obedience placed on their shoulders. They're stopping up their ears and they're making their hearts hard against the Word of God by not listening to it. The sad thing is, some of these folks seem to think, well, I can turn at any time and the Lord will be there and He'll forgive me and He'll save me. Now, in one sense, that's always true. But it's always true for those who are genuinely repentant. It's not true for those who rebel and rebel and rebel and rebel and continue in hard-hearted rebellion against God. Because there is this warning in Scripture that if you ignore Him and His Word as He repeatedly calls you, then there will come a time when you will call Him and when you're in trouble and God will turn His back on you and not hear your cry. And so the point is, basically, don't ignore the call that God issues in His Word to trust in Jesus Christ, His Son. Don't ignore the call that comes to worship Him together with others in the church of the Lord Jesus. Because if you do, there comes a time when you will regret your sinful laziness. You'll seek Him with tears, but He will not hear or heed you because you spurned Him for so long. And don't think that if you're not guilty of laziness on Sunday morning, that you're all right. If you're genuinely a Christian, then your daily life will show it. Your daily life will show it by love for the Lord Jesus Christ and by the evidence that is seen in your life of holiness and righteousness. It's described here as mercy and compassion to those that are helpless. People will be able to tell whether or not you're a Christian. They'll see it in your life. They'll see whether you're self-centered or whether you have this type of godly compassion that only comes from the Holy Spirit and that is evidence of genuine repentance and evidence of genuine faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this stern warning that is given to these folks in Zechariah's day, a warning that applies even to us today, something that we very definitely need to take to heart. We thank You for giving us this example, for we know that all of these things were written for our instruction, for our example. And so we see the truth of Your Word. And Your Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts. And we desire to not be hard-hearted, to not shrug our shoulders, to not rebel against You, but rather, Lord, to give evidence of true saving faith by showing mercy and compassion and kindness to the widow and the orphan, the stranger and the alien, and the poor. Please enable us to demonstrate the truth of our confession of faith in Christ. We pray in His holy name. Amen.